Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
And we are continuing in the series of the book of Galatians. And today we are on to chapter 2 and just three verses, actually, from verse 11 to 13. So Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. I'm going to read the passage and then we'll get straight into it. So when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. This is Paul talking, because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. So, just earlier in the passage earlier, in same chapter, verses 8 and 9, we see that God was at work through the ministry of both Peter, James, and Paul as well. Now, Peter, James, and John were ministering to the Jews, whereas Paul, we know that was ministering to the Gentiles. We see here that Peter, being an apostle, who was not immune from being corrected for his hypocrisy or his sins, and we see that Paul does not hesitate in opposing him or pointing out his wrong ways, that what he'd just seen happened. So set ways are the ways of human nature, any habits that are formed and ingrained in us through practice. What we do or do not do is because of many reasons, and in Peter's case here, it was the fear of the Jews that made him behave the way he did. Paul is talking about how Peter's failing to break away from the old laws was causing others to stumble and being led away from the gospel truth. See, the knowing of gospel truth and yet living contrary to it, he calls as hypocrisy. And dare I say that all of us at some point in our life have lived in hypocrisy in some ways, either for a short time, or some of us might currently be living in one, either knowingly or unknowingly. Stephen Collins once gave this illustration of hypocrisy. He says, hypocrisy is like the 12-year-old boy who was waiting for his first orthodontist appointment and was a bit nervous. Apparently, he wanted to impress the dentist. On the patient questionnaire in the space marked hobbies, he had written swimming, comma, riding my bike, and flossing. That's a very humorous example of how we're all prone to hypocrisy, right? But the impacts are very serious for us Christians. The danger of living a life of untruth is that we preach a false gospel. I'll repeat that. The danger of living a life of untruth is that we preach a false gospel. And that's what Peter was doing by his actions right here. Peter was starting to separate himself from the Gentiles. Now, before he started following Jesus, Peter would have followed all the Old Testament laws. Now, in the Old Testament, there were laws concerning the mixing of the Jews with other people, other nations, who we know by Gentiles, who did not worship Yahweh. Let's see, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, the Israelites were instructed to do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Verse 4, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. Why? Because later in Deuteronomy, it records of how God loved the Israelites. Israelites were God's treasured possession. And God had rescued them. The allegiance was to God, of Abraham alone. And you'd also remember the covenantal relationship between God and the Israelites is often compared to the relationship that of a marriage. And yet, after coming to Jesus, we read in the New Testament, for example, in the same book, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it clearly says, so in Christ Jesus, you were all children of God through what? Through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, this is the interesting part. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. So Peter, as we know, was one of Jesus' disciples. He had watched Jesus, he had learned from Jesus, he had heard all the teachings. He was also a witness to Jesus' death and resurrection. And despite learning firsthand from Jesus, Peter here, when tested, was showing partiality and was separating himself from the very people that he had been friends with. He was mingling with the Gentiles. So why was this case? Because the word says here, he was afraid. He was afraid of the Jews, those who belong to the circumcision group, says Paul. And Paul calls this behavior, in a very harsh but very real words, a hypocrisy, meaning that you say you believe in Jesus and yet you choose to do contrary to what Jesus taught. Paul says it is wrong to do so. And Paul says, I opposed him to his face. Paul did not write a glossy letter or thought about hurting Peter's ego or emotions. He went straight for it. But what's interesting here is that fear stops us from living in the freedom of Christ. It had stopped Peter from doing what was right. But let us ask, what are the roots of Peter's fear of the Jews? Perhaps he was wanting acceptance by them. Maybe Peter felt that he might lead the Jews away from the gospel of Christ if he made himself faithless by hanging out with the Gentiles. And so maybe he wanted to prove to them that he was in fact a law-abiding Jew by not mixing with the Gentiles. And in Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? This is the third reason here. Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I really love Paul and his language. He comes straight to the truth, straight to the point. And he did not hesitate letting Peter know of what he was doing there. So what were the consequences of Peter's hypocrisy? We read here, chapter 2, verse 13, the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. And later, Barnabas was also led astray. Now we can understand the Jews joining Peter in this hypocrisy. But Barnabas, also having been an apostle, did the same thing. He followed Peter's example. But what it does, it shows us our own vulnerability when we are faced with such situations. When we are called to stand for truth and we do exactly the opposite. But in doing so, we are actually not helping anyone. In fact, we are adding to the confusion that's already there and the deception that's already there. What is the real cost of hypocrisy? A couple of things there. First thing is that we live under a yoke of slavery, in apostrophe. You'll see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let's not bring ourselves back into the law that we've been set free from. The second cost is separation or alienation from Christ. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated, separated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. We often see marriage breakups, right? We see some marriage breakups around us where the couple is still married on the paper, but they're living separately. It might be sensitive to some, but let me illustrate this. They're living separately, either under the same roof or maybe in different houses. The thing is that they're separated, estranged from one another. Such is the case with us when we choose what the gospel means according to our set ways and not for what it actually is. There's no peace in marriage breakdown. It hurts both parties, doesn't it? In the same way, if any of our ways are robbing us from the joy of the Lord, then we lose peace with God. And by that, we know that our way is not from God, because we know that peace and joy are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Peter and his Gentile friends would have also felt the pain of Peter's actions. There was certainly a disunity amongst believers. What do we make of this? Sorry, there's one more point there, actually. We read in Galatians chapter 5, 4, that you were separated from Christ, and the second thing was that you've fallen away from grace. And we know that our salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ and by the grace of God alone. And so when we deny Christ in the way we live or believe, we then fall away from the grace of God. These are the words of Paul later in Galatians. So let me ask us then, what are some of the ways we can do the same as Peter? Can you think of some situations from your own life? I certainly know that I have a few examples. But if you've identified any hypocrisy in your own life, the good news is that we can break free from it. The second question is, have you ever been in a position when you felt you were walking on eggshells trying to approach a Christian friend who was doing the very things contrary to the Word of God? I have felt, I said, yes. Or when you did challenge someone on doing something wrong, that they just ended the friendship. They didn't want to talk to you anymore. How can we break from our set ways that, one, do not honor God, two, are causing us to be lukewarm in our faith, and three, leading others to sin? How can we break from those habits? Let's look at a common everyday example. What does the Word of God say about murder? Do not murder, right? Exodus 20. But Proverbs 6 and verses 6 to 19 says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So for us as Christians then, given the light in light of the context of the Word of God, is there any ground for my choice or a mother's choice, as we commonly hear, in supporting abortion? Based on the Word of God, there is no ground. We do not need to be confused or contaminated by the world around us in order to keep peace with others, or be tolerant, in apostrophe again, of murder, because that's the way of the world. If we keep peace with the world, then we lose peace with God. If we keep peace with the world, then we lose peace with God. And someone said, lukewarmness toward God is hypocrisy at its worst. If I truly believe He, that is God, is supreme, then I must treat Him as such. I must. Can I read that again? Lukewarmness toward God is hypocrisy at its worst. If I truly believe that God is supreme, I must treat Him as such. I must. Well, I still haven't gotten to how do we break then from the hypocrisies that could be in our lives. Number one, let's be accountable. Now, being accountable doesn't mean that we only tell success stories to our accountability partner and only receive praise. You know, I've heard some people wanting to be accountable, but they don't want any correction. It doesn't go like that. One even said, I don't want to be judged because everyone else is doing that thing, whatever that thing was. I won't share in detail. But just because everybody is doing it, it doesn't mean that that's right in the eyes of God. But can you also hear that fear of judgment that's in the sentence, I don't want to be judged? Accountability also demands humility. And humility removes shame. There is no shame in receiving rebuke if it is to bring us back on track. In fact, we ought to rejoice that we actually have people in our lives that care about us, who love us. It can be very humbling as Christians because somewhere along the line, somehow we can tend to think that we've got to have it all perfect. You know, and show that we are perfect. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It does say live holy. Be holy because I'm holy. But you see what I'm trying to say. But it's like that 12-year-old boy who felt he needed to impress that dentist by adding flossing as his hobby. I asked Brian, actually, to pray for me a few months ago when I was frustrated at someone and I just could not proceed in what I had to do. This is at the church office. And Brian, I needed God's peace because I did not have God's peace right there. It's a bit of a frustration. I needed that peace of God to be restored. Brian not only prayed for me, but he presented me with an alternative perspective. But there was also a gentle rebuke when Brian prayed for me, which I'm absolutely thankful for. It actually restored my peace because somewhere when Brian was praying and I was praying to the Lord, Lord, help me to understand this person. God filled me with his peace. God filled me with his forgiveness, understanding, and it restored. And I'm very thankful to Brian. So the summary is, go to Brian. You get the point, right? Secondly, listen to the admonition of fellow believers. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know, it's going to bring up some negative feelings when somebody tries to rebuke us or say something that we, hey, hang on, you know. But negative feelings are not always bad. If there is unrest, you can move towards rest in Jesus, right? If there is hatred and jealousy, you can learn love and humility from Jesus. If there is any discontentment about any situation, it is probably because we have stopped trusting God or we ask God with the wrong motives. Let's make it a habit of paying attention to our negative emotions and feelings and sort them out with our trusted people before they lead us into what it seems as a hypocritical thing or a sinful thing. Thirdly, let's not confuse truth with love. Before, people used to hide lots of things because they don't want things to be brought to light because they were not right. But interestingly, we find ourselves in a situation in the world now that we are being forced into accepting the wrong as a right, so that those things could be done in broad daylight. And it hurts us when we see our own brothers and sisters choose the ways of the world or get sucked into free-to-do-anything lifestyle. Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And how do we do that? Number four, speak the truth in love and gentleness. Paul opposed Peter in both person and in public so that the true gospel might be preached to everyone. It doesn't say how he did that, but we know throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, it talks about how to do that. And Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him how? Gently. Gently. So don't be afraid of coming alongside your family or friends and starting with something like, I've been noticing this, can we talk? And lastly, and most importantly, consider if there are any strongholds in your life. Have you allowed a certain thought or a habit to take you captive and that has now become too difficult to break away from? You know, strongholds, there's a reason why it's called stronghold, because it's strong. But Jesus has all the power to set us free. Praise be to Jesus. God has all the power to break the chains of any bondage from our lives. It can be anything, literally anything. So if you're sitting there going, I need a breakthrough in my life today, I really encourage you to seek out your trusted people, pastors, leaders, whoever it is, a believer though. And don't be deceived in doing it alone. That's where the devil wins. And if you need somebody else apart from somebody, if you don't have anyone in your life, and I certainly have had a couple of times where I'm like, I just need to talk to someone, but who? Please talk to us. We can help you find that person. We'll try our best to find that person. You see, when we come to God in humility and in repentance, He totally forgives. And He sets us free from anything that has become a hypocrisy in our lives. And what freedom it brings, what joy fills our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You have set us free, and yet we often choose to be constrained by our old ways and become slaves to wrong, slaves to worry, discontentment, and following this world to fill our needs. Please forgive us, Jesus. And help us in the moments of trials and difficulties to choose You, to come to You and fill ourselves. We are only justified by our faith in You, Jesus. Transform us through and through by Your Holy Spirit so we don't have to make a show of our faith in order to gain approval from others. And I pray in the name of Jesus that if there's any spirit that is not from You, be gone forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask this. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.